We want to welcome each of you here this morning, and as the bell tolls. And we'd like to remind you just to fill out the worship cards up front of you, and I believe you know the routine, and so we'd like to make sure that you get that done. If you could stand and welcome one another now with a handshake, warmth and welcome. Please remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of your holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O Lord, let your merciful ears be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and grant that may be in accord with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from James chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine jewelry comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law of the transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also in faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel appointed for this day is written in the book of St. Mark, the 7th chapter. From there Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at Jesus' feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. And Jesus said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered Jesus, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement you may go your way, the demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged Jesus to lay his hand on him. And taking the man aside from the crowd privately, Jesus put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting upon his tongue, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to the man, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he began to speak plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated.
Yeah.
grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon every one of you this day. Our text is taken from the book of James, the second chapter. It's our epistle lesson. And if you would, David, please turn to that lesson. And we're sorry, but our projector has possibly blown a bulb on this, my side here at the pulpit side. So I think you can follow along well there as well. Pew Bibles are in front of you if you'd like to follow along that way as well. The text, James 2, verses 1 and following. Grace and peace to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, Paul addresses us in today's text about everyday church stuff. Life in the parish between sinners who are declared by the blood of Christ to be saints, now living side by side, person and pew, to the neighbor next door, to everything we come into contact with. That's what Paul is talking about today. Paul talks first about favoritism. For now, we are to view people, not by their clothes, not by the jobs, or the car they drive, or the home they live in, or the title or degree they hold. You know, sometimes we can walk into a church and we can know just by all of those things, sometimes who is important, who's the one who has the following, those types of things. And that is something that Paul really wants us to understand, and how we're to deal with life together in the church. Now, to help us understand this, I'd like to first have us do something that you may have done before with me, but I'd like to have you do this, and I'm serious, so take it serious, guys. Now, I'd like to have you look at the person in the pew next to you, or if you don't have someone in that pew, I want you to go find somebody that's sitting alone or doesn't have somebody, but I want everybody to do this. I want you to get down and kind of lean in and look them square in the eye. And I want you to say, you're one good-looking Christian. Okay, Rocky. You're one good-looking Christian.
Pastor, you are one good-looking Christian, especially in that room.
Well, why do we do that? My wife asks me that when I do this. I want you to know how God sees each and every one of us. He sees each and every one of us as good-looking Christians because he sees us covered not by the stain of sin or our shortcomings or our faults or our failings. He sees us as ones cleansed by the blood of his own Son. He sees Jesus standing behind us smiling and kind of giving a thumbs up, saying, she's mine. He's mine. I want you to know you are, in God's sight, one good-looking Christian. And I want you to really realize that, because as you and I start to see, after last Sunday's Word of God, we also saw that we are robed up in righteousness in our baptisms, and we also recall from last Sunday's text about the full armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness that covers us all. We are indeed righteous by God's doing, sent in his Son, Jesus Christ. All of our sins and shortcomings, our faults and our foibles are covered in the blood of Christ. Now, some of you don't see that. You start to see the length of your nose if you're, you know, like I remember as a teenager, I remember that and the dark circles under my eyes and a few pimples that popped up. And now as I get a little older, the beginnings of a double chin and a little bit lower below, you see the battle of the bulge. And when we're looking at all these things, we begin to be insecure over our looks, but internally, I know, and you know, a lot of us are also shaken by the situations of our life that we've suffered or are now going through. Our identity is not what it should be. We need to see ourselves as one good-looking Christian. to let go and to let God be our image consultant, both on the outside as well as on the inside. You are a child of God, redeemed and holy. I'd like to share with you the story of an individual who was a woman who had a nickname called Polly. She liked to talk a lot, even as a child, I'm told. And this woman lived a very full life, a public life, in fact. She was signed up as a singer and became somebody who sold for a female the first million records that was an accomplishment for anyone, but was really huge for a woman. She accomplished that feat and soon found that she had wanted to marry this young man who was coming back from the military, and his home was in Montana. She got married and signed all of those acclaims away. But she then, again, became interested in politics, and politics really loved her. And in fact, as you start to see the story unfold in her life, she got known for talking and being able to speak well in public arenas. And as a result, there were offers for her to run for public office, I believe as a senator. This woman, such a high honor, but who wanted to be a woman who was married and raising her children. A woman who saw that as the highest honor in the land, and she saw that, and later the acclaims also came when two different presidential inaugurations asked her to come, she and her husband, both for President Nixon and then President Reagan's inaugurations. Polly. She came down with cancer years later. And the doctor looked at her and told her, "You have a tumor on your voice box that we're going to have to remove." Polly, the woman who liked to talk. Polly, the woman who loved to sing. Polly, the woman who lived a public life, was going to lose that voice. And with losing that voice, she had to learn how to talk again, and she did, but people couldn't hear her and understand her, and she began to slip away and live a much more secret, secluded life. A tiny little church that they went to. She loved to go there. She was highly involved when she had her voice. But now people couldn't hear her and didn't understand her there either. She stopped going. She wasn't able to sing the songs she loved, and it was just not the same. And so she started to go less and less and finally became a shut-in. But with the change of pastors, she kind of got lost in the shuffle. Polly. I called the pastor up, the new pastor, and said, "Pastor, I really hope you'll go and visit her. She's a wonderful lady, but please sit and listen to her. If you don't understand her, ask her to write it down. Ask her to say it again, but make sure you understand and that she knows you understand." And after several visits, she started to come back. That woman, Polly, she was Desiree's mother. That woman who had such a public life became so private it was scary almost. But she was a good-looking Christian. And as you and I start to look at the people that start to come through our doors or don't come through our doors anymore, how do we reach out with the love of Christ to get them to be able to see that we still care for them, love them, and know that they are still in our family? Some of you know Jesus very well. And there are people who are coming through the doors of our church very frequently. Some are returning former members. Some are brand new people that God is just sending here. And what is our role and what is our place? After all, we've got a lot of friends and family we already have here. But our idea of being able to do this is Paul's idea, is that we would love them and make them a part of our family. Oh, yes, there's room for one more chair at this table. Oh, yes, there's one more role for you to play. Oh, yes, we want you to be a part of our family. For you see, each and every one of these people are gems that Jesus has sent our way for us to simply to love them and to take good care of them, to welcome them back, or to make them feel like they have always been here. Paul says in today's text, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I'm pretty needy and like to be loved and taken care of, so I guess that's how I should treat my neighbors, right? I want to love my neighbor, and I want to make sure that I'm concerned for their well-being. I want to be able to see that how God is at work in their life. And my neighbor can simply be the person that I'm sitting in the pew with. If my neighbor can be the person I work with in the cubicle next to me or down the hall. My neighbor can be my backyard neighbor, my front yard neighbor, or the person that I meet at Wawa. I sometimes ask the question, when I encounter an individual, I ask them, how can I engage this person? How can I help them to know that Christ loves them? How can I show them the love of God in a simple and kind, practical way? Sometimes it's by just simply listening to them and watching them and seeing if there's something that we can strike up a conversation over. But often I will ask, how's God blessing you today? And if you're at the gas station, you'll get some strange looks at first. Don't be dissuaded. I've had a lot of people just really open up and say, you know, I needed that. Or man, would you pray for me? I'm going through stuff right now. Or today's waiter, if you're going out to eat today, simply to ask them, is there anything I can pray about for you? We're going to bless this food. How's everything going? Could I pray? Often, people will tell you there's something for you to show them that God loves them. And they'll ask you to pray for those things. Paul calls this the royal law of loving our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 37 and 39, when he was asked by a religious Pharisee, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. In these two commandments, the entirety of the law are summed up. Paul writes this in Romans 13. Love is the fulfilling of the law. It's the royal law. That's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. But I have to admit that sometimes I love simply to be perhaps recognized, loved back in return. And I look at a God who says to me, a God who knows my thoughts as well as my intention, a God who weighs the motives of my heart and of my mind. And if it's not agape love, God's kind of love, he knows it. And I'm unable to fulfill the law of God perfectly. And I see that I really am in need of a Savior because I fall short. And here at the foot of the cross, I can see that Christ loved me willingly and freely, that he gave his life up without asking me anything in return. But knowing he was the only one that could pay the price to forgive me, he willingly let them drill the holes into his hands and pound the nails and then to the spear into the side. And upon Calvary's cross, the cost of your sins and mine were covered. We must confess, our conscience is not clean. We cannot love our neighbors as ourselves perfectly. And if we're guilty of violating any part of God's law, we're violating the whole law. John writes, "He who says he is without sin deceives himself, and the truth is not in him. And if we say that we have not sinned, we also make God a liar, and his word is not in us." And my friends, God is not grading on the curve. Because the guy next to you is worse doesn't mean you're okay. My friends, the Bible is so clear. If we will confess our sins unto him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And in 1 John 1:9 we read, we are cleansed from all sin, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's good news. The law tells us what we can't do. It tells us we cannot fulfill that law of God perfectly. And if we're guilty of even one part of it, we're guilty of it all. But it is the gospel, the kindness of God, that moves us to accept this free gift of salvation, of forgiveness found in Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit upon our lives as he draws us through this gospel to be his children. There are still a lot of people who say after every good meal they know that the bill comes. Now, I'm lucky that Desiree doesn't do that to me when I get home, but when we start to look at those times, we know that the bill's going to come at the end of the meal. And a lot of people think that's how God works. They have a belief that somehow they have to do something. All this God's forgiveness is wonderful, but certainly I have to do something to repay God. Something that I can add to what Christ has already done, they think, so that I can be able to say that I contributed something. Certainly I can't put it all on Christ and Calvary. But I'm here to tell you that it was only, and it is by Christ alone, that you and I are or will ever be forgiven. Our salvation is won entirely by him. But I want to stop here, and I want you to help me with this demonstration. And I want you, Rocky, you might want to help me with this. Make sure they're not letting this out. So I want them to take a deep breath. Can I hear that? I want to feel the oxygen being sucked into your lungs out of the room. Big breath, right now. One, two, three, go. Don't let it out now. Don't let it out, okay? Don't let it out. I'll go on here. But I'll tell you when you can let it out. Before I go, do I have to start over? Joyce, don't let that out. Every one of us have taken a breath. And breathing is a very natural thing. We don't have to be reminded to do it. We don't have to wonder about what happens next. Are you thinking about what happens next if you're still holding your breath? You exhale, and you may do so now. What I want you to hear is this, that as a Christian, God the Holy Spirit breathes faith inside of our lungs of faith. God the Holy Spirit grants us salvation and faith in him that rests in Jesus Christ. So if God is living inside of you as he breathes that breath of life into you, what happens? You're going to exhale. Naturally. Does it add to your salvation? No, you've already been forgiven by Christ. But as Christ, who's now dwelling in you, breathes that breath into life into you, now you're exhaling. What do you exhale? You exhale love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, mercy, and all those things, including self-control. But you know, you have to breathe out the goodness of God. And I read in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and the Lutherans, we need to also circle 10, because in 8 and 9 it says, by grace are you saved. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of works, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Then verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, masterpieces, you might say. And he has ordained from the beginning of time works that he has created and fashioned you for, that we should walk in them. So God has not only saved you and filled your spiritual lungs with faith and spiritual life, he has now given you good works to do and to perform. Those two are a gift from God. And guess what you and I get to do? We get to have the joy and the privilege of serving the King of Kings and his children, who, you know, after all, are good-looking Christians. As are you. And so may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Please join me as we confess our faith this Sunday in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Lord and Savior Jesus, we indeed do thank you and we praise you for making us good-looking Christians, redeemed by your blood, clothed in a robe of righteousness, covered by a breastplate of righteousness, sent from your throne of grace and mercy. We are now sent as your servants to the world in which we live. Help us to show that we are yours, that we are a witness to the world by the love we share with the world. O Lord and Savior, help us as we welcome new people into our congregation to always be mindful of their needs, of their concerns, and of how they can be made one, not just with us, but especially with you. Help each of us as we grow in our own faith also to be able to be one who will mentor and bear witness and disciple others. Help us as we also welcome home other folks to be able to say we've missed you and to love on them as well. Lord, may you allow us as your people to love our neighbor as ourselves. Help us to show the world the depth of your love through the love we give unto them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also ask the church that you would be with the families and the children that are coming, with the teachers and our principal and administrative staff. Allow them joy in their service as they serve in your name. We also pray for those who serve on our pastoral and financial offices. We ask your blessing to be upon Eric, upon Colette and Rose, and upon Liz. That your blessing and hand of grace would also be upon Chanda and Julia. And Lord, I pray also that you would bless the efforts as we see our lay leadership of this congregation, that you'd grant them wisdom and guidance and strength. As we see the opportunities that are before us, as we lean into the second century of ministry, help us, O Lord, to serve you and to seek out your mission and your will. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we ask that you would hear the prayers requested from your people.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we bring before you this morning the family and friends of John Yergler, who this past Thursday was called to his eternal home. We ask your blessings as their mourning, that you would get them through to recognize that their hope is in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we also ask your blessing for those in the paths of storms coming in off of the Atlantic. We know these storms are a part of your creation, and we ask for your mercy, protection, and grace for those in the path of this storm to protect life, limb, and property. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We now pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. risen from the dead, he has freed us from the eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, forevermore praising you and singing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had broken it, he gave thanks and he gave it unto his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after he had supped and he had taken the cup, he blessed it and he gave thanks and he gave it unto them, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. This cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not a participation of the body of Christ? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy
O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and our minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This Sunday, today at 12:30, we will have a parent-student meeting for all 7th and 8th graders participating in confirmation instruction this year. Please plan to join the pastor and youth leaders in Fellowship Hall to talk more about what's planned for this year's confirmation studies. Our next Trinity game night is set for this coming Friday night, September the 14th, from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Game night this summer was so much fun with friends from throughout the Trinity family and all ages. Please join us for an evening of Trinity family time. All are welcome. Bring your own games or use something we have on hand. You're welcome to bring your own dinner with you or eat before you arrive. Light refreshments will be provided. September 22nd is our next Servant Saturday event for the entire Trinity family. We will be working together to make improvements on the tutoring and technology lab for Rebecca's Garden of Hope at Our Savior Lutheran, where at-risk children are provided with tutoring resources and a loving connection to their local church. Our last Servant Saturday serving with the Hope team was fantastic, with participants from the school, church, staff, as well as guests, friends, and even grandkids. It was a wonderful morning serving a local community need, and this one will be also. Please sign up for this quarterly opportunity to serve in our community. Read the details in your weekly and sign up now. Volunteers are needed to prepare food, tutor, and serve at our next evening at Rebecca's Garden of Hope on September 26th. Please see your weekly for details and how you could participate. September 29th will be food and funds on the fifth Sunday. It will be collected, and on the 30th as well, so start collecting your BOGOs now. And with that, that is the announcements, and blessings to all of you for a happy Sunday. Pastor?
That's it. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy. I gotta get back.